Music was Cypresses by Anat Cohen, and that was on her beautiful, beautiful flute from the album Poetica. I thought that music sort of sounded like a spy movie, like something's going to happen to change the entire show. So stay tuned, because I think that's what's going to happen tonight. This is Sound Health. I am your host, Sherry Edwards. We're here on BBS Radio. Don, our producer, and his crew tells us that the archives of the show are getting millions of hits each month, and more people are waking up and happily taking responsibility for their own lives. The name of this show is the idea of sound health, really a play on words like sound as in foundational and safe, a sound idea, and sound as in words and frequencies and all of other things of the universe, because we are all sound and frequency. And on this show, we attempt to bring you information to widen your horizons, make you think, enlighten you, and make your life a little easier. So today, we're going to talk about the pretend energy crisis. We have a fascinating and well-researched guest, which he calls the energy non-crisis. He's written a book about it. He's been on a whirlwind tour of the talk show circuit, and he's going to be with us in a minute right after. I think I have three announcements tonight. One, we are coming up on our second anniversary here at BBS Radio. So Sound Health has been on the air for about 2 years now. And lots of great people have written to us, lots of great guests, so we're looking forward to that celebration. And two, we want to invite all of you to our open house here in Ohio. That will be in March. Visit our website for details. Nutra Sounds, N-U-T-R-A, Sounds, S-O-U-N-D-S, one word, NutraSounds.com. And we are going to be doing people's vocal print there and teaching you some new tricks. So come visit us if you're close or even if you're far away. And three, we've had great fun with the audience on our Thursday show, Vocal Profiling Live. We did diet assessments on the air. And I think we were able to help a lot of people with their issues about weight management. And you can check the archives of that on bbsradio.com. Just go to the archives, look under my name. It was a great show. On to our guest, Lindsay Williams. He's the author of a book called Energy Non-Crisis. And he has a monthly talk show, too, about energy. Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Sherry, thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show at a time when gasoline is $3 plus per gallon. Groceries are up 24% over what they were 12 months ago. And this week, one of the most significant things happened to the American dollar that has ever happened in the history of the United States of America. It's a privilege to be able to introduce all these things to your listeners.
Is those things why you wrote this book?
Well, yes, I wrote the book because there is no gasoline shortage. The gasoline at the gas pump could be less than $1.50 a gallon. And because of my background in, by the providence of God, really, being allowed to be in such a position on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, I found out things that the average person in America has not the slightest idea about.
Are you going to tell us?
Well, it all began when I went to Alaska as a missionary some years ago. And just after arriving there, they announced they were going to build the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. And they said that 25,000 pipeliners were going to converge on the state of Alaska to build an 800-mile-long, 4-foot diameter pipe, largest ever constructed on the face of the earth for the carrying of crude oil. And I had heard that pipeliners were supposed to be about the most wicked, cussingest, drinking, honorious folks on the face of the earth. And so first thing that came to my mind was, hey, I've just arrived in Alaska as an aviation missionary. maybe these people need some spiritual guidance. Well, believe you me, that was the understatement of the year. So I went to Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, and I said, don't you need a chaplain on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline? At first, they laughed at me. They said, we never had a chaplain on any pipeline in the world. We wouldn't have the slightest idea what to do with you. I said, no problem. Well, I kept going back and back and back. I guess persistence paid off. And after a while, they said, okay, we'll give you the northern seven camps from the Arctic Ocean up in northern Alaska down to the Brooks Mountains, which is Galbraith Lake. And they said, just go up there and see what you can do in those seven work camps. Well, I did. I'm quite sure they thought I would spend about a week and then come home, but I didn't. And 6 months later, Mr. R.H. King, personnel relations man with Alyeska, came to me and he said, chaplain, we never realized the value of a chaplain on a pipeline before. He said, you're saving us thousands of dollars of counseling fees that we aren't having to pay. He said, we would like to make life a little easier for you up here. He said, we have just voted to give you executive status. And I said, well, Mr. King, what does that mean? He said, chaplain, you can go any place you'd like, see anything you wish. We'll give you your own vehicle that you can travel around up and down the hall road. And he said, we would like to invite you to sit in on our board meetings in an advisory capacity in order to help the relationship between management and labor. Sherry, I didn't have the slightest idea what I was getting into. For 3 years' time, by the providence of God, and there is no way in this world that this could have taken place except by God's providence, because here's a little insignificant, unknown missionary flying airplanes out in the bush of Alaska, and all of a sudden, I am put in the board meetings with the elitist of the world. I mean, the people who tell the world what's going to happen tomorrow morning, the top oil company officials of the world, the people you hear about in the IMF and the World Bank, the people that most authors read other authors' books about and attempt to write about, and for 3 years' time, I lived in the dorms with them. I sat across the dinner table from them. I sat in the board meetings and listened to what they had to say. If someone had asked me before I went to the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, Lindsay Williams, do you believe there's a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world? Sherry, I would have laughed at them and said, who are you, a John Bircher? If someone had asked me after I wrote my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, and lived with the elitist of the world for 3 years' time, if someone had asked, do you believe there's a group of people on the face of the earth who tell the president what to do, dictate to Congress what bills to pass, tell the Arabs what they're going to give them for a barrel of oil in any given day, and control the currencies of the world, I would have said, not only do I believe it, I sat and listened to them talk about it. Sherry, I heard them talk about a 30-year plan that they have for the world. And I have watched them carry it out meticulously, exactly as they said that they were going to do it. I would like to, if I can, I would like to, as emphatically as possible, state to your audience tonight, there is a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world. There is nothing that happens by chance. It all happens by an agenda and a design plan planned a long time in advance, Sherry.
Who are these people?
Well, the best way to explain them would be to say that it wasn't unusual for me to sit down to the breakfast table with International Secretary Treasurer of Exxon, possibly be with some congressman that afternoon. And I know people ask me the question, come on, tell me, who are these people? As if there's some spook out there in the bushes somewhere. And I know most everyone at this point who knows anything about the elitist of the world expect me to get ethnic, but I'm not going to do it. And the reason I'm not is because that's not necessarily who these people are. There were people there from every ethnic group imaginable. And the best way that I could describe the elite of the world who control the world is to say, look at the roster of the people who are on the board of the IMF, International Monetary Fund, and the World Bank, and you will basically know who these people are.
Well, you mentioned Exxon, and I think it's just positively indecent and all the other words you can think about. I was just reading it. They had a $37 billion, not million, billion-dollar profit. That's $37 million. And on our backs, you talked about the price of
gasoline. Why is it so high when they're making such incredibly high profit?
Well, last year, Exxon made the largest profit of any corporation in the history of the world. And everybody says, oh, look at those dirty oil companies and how much money they're making. And they're right. I would agree with them 100%. But the thing that the average person does not know is that there is someone on the face of the earth who is making more money than the oil companies. Now, I would have never known this. There is no way in this world that I could possibly have known who it is that controls the price of crude oil, that tells you what you're going to pay at the gas pump, and actually is charging you a tax at the gas pump. If I had not been sitting in that board meetings, there is no way in this world that I could have known this. Now, I'll try to explain to you who they are, because, folks, you'll have to understand that I sat in the board meetings and lived in the dorms with the elite of the world for 3 years' time when I was the chaplain on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. I know who these people are. I understand their mindset, and I think I can honestly say that I understand why they do what they do. Now, let's go, for instance, in Saudi Arabia. I could take Dubai. I could take Venezuela. I could take Nigeria, any country in the world that produces oil. But since Saudi Arabia registers in the mind of the average person, let me just take Saudi Arabia, for instance, and say in Saudi Arabia, it costs $5 a barrel to get the oil out of the ground. Now, I did not say transport it, refine it, and so on to get it out of the ground. On the North Slope of Alaska, on America's own oil field on the Arctic Ocean, it takes $3 a barrel to get the oil out of the ground. Well, who is making the difference between $3 and $5 a barrel and $90 and $100 a barrel? If the average American could only understand the inner core workings of the elite, you would be so angered at what you're paying at the gas pump until I'm quite sure you would start, yeah, I'm going to be very careful here and try, you know, I don't know just how controversial I can get tonight, Sherry, but you definitely would start an impeachment from our president all the way down, because we have an oil president and an oil vice president, and they know all this, but they aren't telling you a fraction of what's going on. Now, let's say that Saudi Arabia wants to sell a barrel of oil to Shell Oil Company in the United States of America. They can't do it direct. No, they won't allow it. Have you ever wondered why it is that every country in the world is, you pay them the same thing for a barrel of oil in any given day? Now, why doesn't one country jump out of the saddle and say, no, I'll take more, I'll take less, this sort of thing? Why is it? And the reason is because there are people sitting behind the computers in New York and London who dictate the price of a barrel of crude oil on any given day and tell everybody from OPEC to Mr. Chavez in Venezuela to the sheikhs and sheiks in Saudi Arabia, they tell them what they're going to give them for a barrel of oil in any given day, and that is what the price of that barrel of oil will be. It could be $10 a barrel if they wanted it that, and it could be $100 a barrel, but I'll tell you, it's going to $150 a barrel, and you will be paying $7 to $10 a gallon at the gas pump before very long, mark my words. But who is it that controls the price of this barrel of oil? Now, let's say that Saudi Arabia wants to sell it to Shell Oil Company in America. They sell it through, now listen to the buzzword. Every now and then you'll hear them say this on the news. Very seldom do they slip and say it, but every now and then they will. They talk about the oil bourse. Now, who is the oil bourse? The oil bourse is nothing but the people who sit behind the computers in New York and London every day who are representatives of, watch it now, notice this very carefully. I was stunned when I came to realize this for the first time. These are the people who represent the World Bank and the IMF, and they dictate the price of a barrel of oil in any given day, and are the in-between mans between Saudi Arabia and the other oil-producing countries of the world and the oil companies of the world who refine the oil. They make more money than the oil companies themselves, and the average American has not the slightest idea that what you pay at the gas pump for a gallon of gasoline is a form of taxation, and you're paying it to the World Bank and the IMF. and the elitist and the rich people of the world.
Are you saying B-O-R-S-T? Is that the word you're using?
B-O-R-S-E, Bors.
Okay. Is there anything we can do about this?
Not until we get our... Oftentimes, I'm glad you asked that question, can we do anything about it, because I oftentimes remark, there is no shortage of crude oil. The only shortage we have is honesty in Washington, D.C., and it disturbs me to no end what they're doing, because, well, let's just take, for instance, I know I'm really stepping out a long ways, but unless you stop me, I'll just go ahead and give it anyway. Why are we in Iraq? Iraq is the second largest oil field in the world. Iran is the third largest oil field in the world. Saudi Arabia is the first largest oil field in the world. Why are we in Iran? It's an oil war. Why is it that we make such a big deal over Iran and their nuclear? When we gave nuclear to India and North Korea has nuclear, so many other countries of the world have nuclear, then why are we making such a big deal over Iran's nuclear? It doesn't have a thing to do with nuclear. It's the fact that Iran is the third largest oil field in the world, and they are the first company to ever jump out of the saddle, buck the elitist, and say, we are going to establish our own oil bourse. Sherry, this past week, one of the most significant things took place that has ever happened in relation to the American dollar, and it frightens me to no end. The Iran has for some time now announced that they no longer were going to use American dollars for the trade of crude oil. Now, mind you, the elitist of the world, I heard them talking about it, the elitist of the world chose crude oil as a method of controlling the world in the early 60s. And they have never allowed anything but the American dollar to be used for the sale and trade of crude oil until Iran said, we are going to establish our own oil bourse. We're going to invite the entire world to sell and trade oil through us and through our banks. The word bourse merely means bank. And they said, we're going to allow the world to sell oil through our bank. And Iran opened it up this week. I mean, this is so significant because it basically signaled the death of the United States dollar. Let me try to explain why. And in order to do it, let me take a personal example that every person will relate to. Let's say that you borrowed money to buy your house, and you borrowed it from a certain lending institution. And every month, you must go down and make a payment of both the principal and the interest. Now, the same thing is true of the United States of America. The United States of America has a $9 trillion national debt. You can't just have a debt without paying it. So, who pays our national debt? The whole world does. Let me try to explain. The Federal Reserve issues T-bills and issues of securities, and the whole world comes in and buys them merely because it is the dollar is the standard currency of the world. It's a reserve currency of the world. Everybody in the world has wanted the American dollar up until now, but now the American dollar is beginning a collapse. So as a result, people have always bought our national debt. America must attract 17% of the world's capital in any given day just to service our national debt. So let's say that the Federal Reserve issues or offers T-bills for sale. And whenever they do, then the nations of the world come and say, we're willing to buy them. So they do. So who pays our national debt? The nations of the world. Now, let's say these nations buy oil from them. They turn around and take a certain portion of what we have sold them, have bought oil from them with, and buy our T-bills and our Federal Reserve issues. And in turn, we are giving them a piece of paper. They're giving us oil, and the national debt is paid because they're buying the issues from the Federal Reserve. Now, when a nation... For the first time ever in history, this has never happened before. For the first time, Iran says, we aren't going to use the American dollar anymore. And we are inviting all of these other nations. Mr. Chavez in Venezuela immediately jumped on board. And now some of the other nations are doing the same thing and saying, we aren't going to use the dollar anymore. Well, whenever they no longer use the dollar for the sale and trade of crude oil, all these billions of dollars aren't floating around out there. Nobody comes in and buys our T-bills, and the American dollar collapses. And that basically is what began the process this past week. And the reason we're having such a major banking crisis at this point is because the nations of the world are opting out of the American dollar. Let's take for China, for instance. We buy products from China. What do we give them? Oh, yeah, we get tangibles from China. But we give them a piece of paper. That's all. There's nothing else we can offer them, but it's the dollar, and they always thought it was sound. China holds $1.3 trillion of American paper right now. And because of the decline of the American dollar over the past year's time, China has lost between $7 and $8 billion of profit because of the decline of the dollar, because of that $1.3 trillion of paper that they hold. Now, Iran said this past week, we're inviting the nations of the world to come in and use our oil, Boris. And they said, this is so significant. Iran said, we are going to do this on the date of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. And they're calling it a 10-day dawn for Iran and the world, because for the first time now, somebody has stood up and challenged the big bankers and the world's elitist, and it must scare our president and our vice president to death, because the last thing in the world that Mr. Bush wants is for the collapse of the American dollar to take place during his administration. But the rate it's going right now, they aren't going to be able to stop it, because Iran says now, we're inviting the whole world to come in and use the euro or the ruble or some other currency besides the American dollar. And Sherry, it is critical if the American people only realize what a state we're in.
Well, what's the date that this is going to happen?
It happened this past week. In fact, Iran set the date, which would take place on the date of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, and they said by the 11th, which is tomorrow morning, by the way, they said between the 1st and the 11th of February, we will officially have everything in place. We will have all the currencies necessary. We'll have all the trade mechanisms set up, all the computers working. And by tomorrow morning, Iran will have numerous nations trading oil through them. And for the first time ever in history, they will no longer be using the American dollar. And I honestly believe that it has signaled the death of the dollar. But I must pause here long enough to say, I think they want this. And I think the elitists are allowing this to happen, because you've heard of the North American Union, whereby they want to put together Canada and the United States and Mexico. I mean, even CNN News and Lou Dobbs has done 7 programs on this and warned the American people that they have bypassed the Constitution. They have gone past Congress, and some of the elitists of the world are setting up a North American Union, and they want to have a new currency. And they will. In fact, they've already named the currency. They've named it the Amero. And they say that by the year of 2010, they will have set up the North American Union, bypassing the Constitution and Congress, and for the sake of the elite who want to control the world, will have their own currency for North America, Canada, United States, and Mexico, and they've said they're going to do this by the year 2010. Now, the only way that they can issue a new currency is for the American dollar to collapse. It's well underway. This past week, the American dollar went to 74 basic points. Understand that today, the American dollar is worth less than 1 cent in purchasing power of what it was 100 years ago. Just think about it for a moment. How much you're paying for your groceries, what you're paying at the gas pump compared to what you paid back in the 60s. And every bit of this is a result of the collapse of the dollar. Now, when the dollar collapses and you need to take a wheelbarrow load of paper to the grocery store to buy a loaf of bread, as they did in Germany at the time of the last war, as someone said to me the other day, they said, Chaplain Williams, we would never accept anything except the greenback and the dollar. We would never accept another currency. I said, yes, you will. They said, when? I said, whenever it gets to the place that you take a wheelbarrow load of paper to the grocery store to buy a loaf of bread, you will beg the Federal Reserve for another currency, and they'll be standing right there ready to issue it to you. And in fact, I said, they've already named it, and they're going to call it the Amero.
I'm a little confused here. Let me ask a question and then another question. Is the reason we're really fighting this war in Iran over a currency that we're selling oil with?
Now, are you speaking of Iran or Iraq?
Okay, you just talked about the war and why what Iran is doing to control oil.
Yes.
So are we really fighting this war in Iraq to try to get to Iran to stop this?
No. Iran and Iraq war, the threats that we've made against Iran and the connection between that and Iraq, really, there's no connection whatsoever. We went into Iraq because of, may I go into just a little background again?
Okay.
Back during the days of the Ford administration, we had a Secretary of State by the name of Mr. Henry Kissinger. Now, I know all of this only because of where I was and because of hearing the elitists talk about it. Mr. Kissinger went abroad to every major oil-producing country in the world during his administration, and he said, I'd like to cut you a deal. Now, keep in mind that the Arabs, 40 or 50 years prior to this, were nothing but nomads running the desert riding camels. And all of a sudden, here is this very elite man comes along and says, I'll make you rich. And they said, how? And he said, I'd like to buy oil from you. Oh, they said, that'd be wonderful. And he said, we'll build your oil fields. And different oil companies built different oil fields in different countries. And they said, all right, what do you expect out of us? He said, first of all, I'd like you to sign on the dotted line for two things. They said, what's that? Number one, that you will buy or use the American dollar for the sale and trade of all crude oil. Oh, they said, no problem. After all, it's as sound as a dollar back in those days. Well, they said, what's the second thing? He said, secondly, you must take a certain portion of what we buy oil from you with and turn around and buy our T-bills, our Federal Reserve issues. In other words, buy our national debt. Pay the interest on the national debt. They never had any idea that it would go to $9 trillion. But it did. But anyway, he said, okay. They said, fine. We'll be glad to do that. After all, you give good interest on your T-bills, and it's as sound as the dollar. There's two nations that would not sign on the dotted line. Only two out of all the nations he went to. And the first one was, you guessed it, Iraq, Saddam. He had to be destroyed. He bucked the elitists. And there was no weapons of mass destruction over there, and they knew it from the very beginning. It is an oil war is the only reason that we are in Iraq. There's a second nation that would not sign on the dotted line in the days of Mr. Henry Kissinger, and that was Iran. And you remember the issue that took place about Iran back in 1979 during the Islamic Revolution, and Iran would never sign on the dotted line and say they would go along with us. Well, first of all, Saddam, it was finally two presidents before he was destroyed. And now, why are they picking such a fight with Iran? Iran doesn't even have a nuclear device yet. And yet we're going over there and everything but daring to start a war. And Russia and China both have said we'll come to Iran's rescue if you go in there and bother them. So as a result, we've backed off for a while. But every bit of it is an oil war. It has nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction whatsoever. It's the fact that they would not sign on the dotted line. And then the worst part is Iran now finally, as of this week, has said we're inviting the whole world to come and use our bank for the sale and trade of crude oil. I mean, this is drastic for the American dollar because 74 basic points, oh, my goodness, the American dollar is in dire condition right now. And what's it going to cause? Well, the whole world is checking out of the American dollar as fast as they can. They're selling it so fast. Well, this past week, for instance, the Federal Reserve had an issue of T-bills and securities, and not one cent. single foreigner showed up. It's the first time that it's ever happened in the history of the Federal Reserve. Why? Foreigners don't want our money anymore. I travel abroad. I travel all over the nation. I speak in many different places. I was in North Carolina last week. We were in Panama recently for a big convention. We had people there from numbers of countries in the world. Every place I go, I find that people from other nations know that the American dollar is in trouble. I come back to America. The only people that don't know that the American dollar is about to collapse is the American, Sherry.
I need to take a break here and give people some numbers to call in. I'm sure they have questions for you.
Yes.
Our toll-free number is 877-876-5227. We also have another toll-free number that works in Canada, 888-815-9756. The direct line, 530-876-3222. And you can always get us at radio@vocalprofiling.com. I don't know if people have time to stop for questions with this. It's fascinating. Well, you didn't answer my question, though, Lindsay. What can we do about it?
There is something can be done about it. In fact, we can solve the whole problem right from our own oil field. In my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, is a chapter entitled, If Gull Island Doesn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. I was there the day that the largest oil field on the face of the earth was discovered, proven, brought in. And within 24 hours' time, the information about that oil field was ordered classified. I asked Mr. Ken Fromm, who was a senior executive of Atlantic Richfield, the following day after it was classified. I said, Ken, why have you done this? America should be energy independent. We don't need any more Arab oil. His response to me was, Lindsay, we aren't going to open up that oil field until we have the price of crude oil where we want it. Now, the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline Corridor was constructed to accommodate three pipelines. One pipeline was built, which is the present crude oil pipeline that has the capability of flowing 1.7 million barrels of oil every 24 hours. And as soon as that one pipeline was built, the government of the United States of America said, stop. You do not build anymore. The oil companies were begging to build two crude oil pipelines and one natural gas pipeline down the same corridor, would not disturb the ecology in any manner whatsoever because it was built to accommodate three pipelines. We could, right now, from our own soil, bring oil down the same corridor as of the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline is on, not disturb the ecology in any manner, and bring enough oil to the refineries of America that within a year and a half, now note this carefully, within 1 year and a half, we could have the price of gasoline at the gas pump less than $1.50 a gallon and have back the great American dream. You say, wait a minute, you're talking off the top of your hat. Well, let me point you to this. Go back and find it, if you will, in your archives. The governor of the state of Alaska appeared on the Bill Maher TV show entitled Real Time, and he stated, quote, there is potentially enough crude oil on the north slope of Alaska to last the United States of America for 200 years. He's exactly right. We could have back the great American dream, and all it would take would be some honesty in Washington, D.C., but not one of the presidential hopefuls are willing to touch this because of the Federal Reserve, and they're scared to death of what would happen to the national debt if these foreign countries that produce oil no longer bought our T-bills.
What is the planned top dollar for a barrel of oil that you sit in on these meetings? What did you hear is the planned top dollar they're trying to get?
Well, at the time that the Gull Island field was ordered classified, and by the way, not one drop of oil has ever been released from that field since the day I saw it brought in. I will answer that question, but let me go one step further. After my first edition of the Energy Non-Crisis came out, I had a phone call one day, and on the other end of the line was Mr. Ken Fromm, and he was angry. Oh, my goodness, I don't think I've ever heard a man that was any more upset. And he said, Lindsay, I said, Ken, what's wrong? He said, Lindsay, Atlantic Richfield just fired me. I said, Ken, they can't do that. You're one of their top people. He said, yes. And I said, you're just real close to retirement. He said, right. But I said, they fired you? He said, yes. I said, why? He said, they found out that I was the one that let you into that room that day, saw the information about the Gull Island oil field, and you dared to write it in your book. But he said, Lindsay, there are a few things in your book that aren't letter perfect. He said, you're a minister. You're not an oil patch man. And he said, they are going to discredit your entire book because of a few statements that you've made. He said, I am so angry at Atlantic Richfield for firing me. He said, I would like to offer to rewrite your book for you. I said, what? He said, yes. He said, I will rewrite it. Well, he and I sat down for about a 30-day period. He completely rewrote my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, made it letter perfect. And in it, he himself personally wrote a second chapter entitled, If Gull Island Doesn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. Well, after we finished and I came out with the updated and enlarged edition, which, by the way, be sure and have a pencil and paper handy. I'll tell you in a moment how you can get it. He wrote it himself and corrected every mistake. And then after the second edition came out, he called me back on the phone again one day. And this time he wasn't angry. He was quite happy. And I said, Ken, why are you so happy today? He said, well, Lindsay said, Atlantic Richfield hired me back, gave me a large increase in pay, promised me a huge pension when I retire, and told me that I was never to talk to you anymore, so I'm just calling to let you know that I'm glad I helped rewrite your book and made everything letter perfect. As a result, they've never questioned or been able to discredit my book, Energy Non-Crisis. But Ken Fromm, I said to him after I watched Gull Island oil field classified, information classified, I said, Ken, where do you want the price of crude oil to go before you'll open that up? He said, Lindsay, I can't tell you. Well, I found out just recently from one of my informants in the oil business. He said, write it down now, because if Sherry allows me back on this program about a year from now, you're going to say I'm a prophet, and I'm going to tell you I'm not, because it's just that I know the people who are doing it. He said, we are going to take the price of crude oil to $150 a barrel. Now, the first 3 days of January of 2008, two out of those 3 days, it went to $100 a barrel. It's only a matter of time until it's going to $150 a barrel. Mark my words, right from the people who are doing it, I have the information.
Okay, with Iran going with their own bank, what do you think is going to happen? How's that going to influence anything?
Well, it's going to affect every person in the United States of America drastically. Can you imagine whenever the American dollar continues to decline? Now, notice something. This is my expertise, so I really think nothing about these things, but the average person still doesn't realize just how to connect these points. As someone said to me the other day, they said, Chaplain Williams, we saw this piece of the puzzle and this piece and this piece. They said, after hearing your lecture for the last hour and a half and 2 hours, they said, now we see the entire picture of just what's going on. Now, whenever you're able to put the whole picture together, you will realize that every time the Federal Reserve lowers interest rates, the value of the dollar declines. Now, you just notice it over the next few weeks, because they just had an interest rate decline here, 0.75%, then 0.5%, and they're saying they're going to come down another 0.5% in just a short period of time. The dollar is going to collapse that much more. Now the Iranian voice comes in, and the world stops using the American dollar for the sale and trade of oil, and the dollar is going to collapse. Now imagine one of the major chains in America, like Target or Walmart or one of the others, having to buy from China if the dollar is worth half of what it is right now. What does that mean is going to happen at the store whenever you go to buy something? You'll be paying twice as much. That's called inflation. And they're already telling us that's what we're going to face because of the decline of the dollar, because they know that this is what's going to take place. Barring a war with Iran, which they've tried every way possible to get one started and haven't been able to do it, and barring something happening to the economy miraculously, which, oh, by the way, this giveaway of a few hundred dollars to every person in the United States of America is not going to do one thing for the economy. I mean, what a joke to think that that's going to revive our economy, get real estate going again, and put money back. You know, this, I just sit back and laugh because they continue lowering interest rates. Down goes the dollar. So what's going to happen? You're going to be paying more for your groceries. You're going to be paying more at the hardware store. Inflation is going to run rampant. and expect it, because in order to bring in the North American Union, they will allow the dollar to collapse.
What's this going to do to gas prices? It's like $3 plus now.
Well, gasoline prices are going to go accordingly. Whenever the price of crude oil goes to $150 a barrel, you will be paying between $7 and $11 a gallon at the gas pump. Now, I'm quite sure, and Sherry, let me go back to your question of a few moments ago. You see, every bit of this could be solved. I need to stop at this point and quote something. I'm a minister. I have been now for 50 years. And the Word of God's always right. And the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will scare you to death. No, quite to the contrary. It says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's my contention that if people know the issues, you can prove and document it. You can get it from a reliable source. If you know the truth, you have no reason to stay awake at night. There's no reason to worry and look behind bushes everywhere you go and be upset, because if you know the issues and you know how to combat those issues, you can do something about it. For instance, why not go into a home-based business and quit driving an hour back and forth to work every day, and whenever it gets to be $7 a gallon? And you can do that. I mean, there's so many ways that a person can prepare for the inevitable if you know what to do about it. And that's the reason that I have just finished producing 8 DVDs. You did hear me correctly, not CDs. You watch them on your television set. I have produced 8 of them, and I'm begging people to learn the issues, because you can solve every one of these problems for your dinner table and for your house by knowing the issues and beginning to take action right now. For instance, one of my DVDs is What's On Happening to the American Farmer. I was asked to go to southeast Colorado and northern Texas recently for a seminar in 2 different cities. And I asked the people, the largest farmers in America farm thousands of acres. 40% of America's food supply comes from that area of the country. And I said, why'd you invite me down here? They said, well, yes, we wanted you to speak in 2 cities and let the people know what's happening. But they said, 12 years ago when we had our tractor run to Washington, we invited you down, and everything you said back then has happened exactly like you said it. They said, we invited you down here to ask you what the price of diesel fuel is going to be. And I said, what, you paid my airfare all the way down here just to answer that question? They said, yes. I said, why? They said, first of all, you tell us where it's going. I said, well, it's going to go to $3 to $4. And I said, now, why'd you ask me? They said, we have calculated that we cannot plant our crops, tend them, and harvest them in the fall for any more than $3 a gallon on diesel fuel. We'll be losing money. One farmer stood up and said, I just sold out. Another farmer said, I'm quitting. I said, you can't do it. You're 40% of America's food supply. They said, we are. Now, I have produced a DVD. You must see it. It's 1 hour and 5 minutes long. A Hollywood studio produced it for us. And you must know what's happening to the farmer, because it's going to affect you at the grocery store within the next year's time. You need to know what a banker said to me. There was one of the elitists who dared to give me an interview. It's a little over 1 hour long. You actually see the entire thing. And after the man gave it to me, it scared him so much I can't even find him myself anymore. But he told the intricate details of the inner workings of the elite and the banking cartels, and how they operate through their trust in foreign countries. I mean, it's the most fascinating thing. You can't find it anywhere except in my home library of 8 DVDs. But we don't sell you 8 DVDs. I'm going to ask you to purchase just 4 DVDs. That's correct. And I'm going to give you 4 additional DVDs. You will have 15 hours of a family library of every subject imaginable, from banking to the North American Union. You'll see Lou Dobbs talking on CNN News. You will hear one of the elitists talking themselves. You'll see what's happening to the farmers. Every subject imaginable is covered in this, and you only buy 4 of my DVDs. I'm so concerned about America, I'm giving you 4 additional ones, which means you'll have 8 DVDs, 15 hours of DVD viewing, And I'm going to throw in two of my books as a gift. I will give you a copy of my book, Energy Non-Crisis, as a gift. I will also give you as a gift a copy of my book, You Can Live, 263 pages long, just hopefully to get you to know the issues so that you can take action now before it's too late. Now, tomorrow morning, now our operators aren't standing by. Today is Sunday, but tomorrow morning they will be there. Please call 800-321-2900, and when you call, ask them for the survival guide. We have prepared a complete book in light of what's taking place in the world with the decline of the dollar, because of what's happening in politics right now, which is drastic, and I won't get into that subject at all. That's not my expertise. Please ask for the survival guide when you call in. Even if you don't get my DVDs, get the survival guide. And by all means, ask about my 8-DVD set, 4 of which I give you as a gift. You only buy 4 at a very reasonable price. I'll give you a copy of Energy Non-Crisis, give you a copy of You Can Live. The number is 800-321-2900.
And how much is this going to cost?
Well, this will, you only buy the 4 DVDs, and it's, I think it's $136 for the entire set. You get 8 DVDs and both of my books.
Okay, and we just have a question from one of our listeners that came in on the internet, but you said you're not going to talk about it. And the question is, do you really think any of the presidential candidates are going to do anything about this? None of them? Absolutely none?
One of the candidates that is the front runner right now is the senator from Iowa State, right here in Arizona. I approached him about this subject in an open meeting here a while back, and he almost went into hysteria. In fact, he lost it in the front of this entire town meeting. And I was amazed that this man, he knew what's happening. He knows that what our president knows and what our vice president knows, that there is no way that they are going to let the American people know what's going on and bring our own oil to us. Do you realize that every day at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, now this is on our own soil, every 24 hours, 1 billion, please write this down, 1 billion cubic feet of natural gas come out of the ground with the oil. It's a natural process, and there is no pipeline to bring it to the American people. It's ours. It doesn't cost one penny. It's being pumped back into the ground. They're using 24 747 type jet aircraft engines to pump that 1 billion cubic feet of natural gas back into the ground every 24 hours at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. It's an atrocity that should cause an impeachment from the top to the bottom in Washington, D.C., and this man knows it. He knows it as well as he knows his name. You see, natural gas is the cleanest method of generating electricity on the face of the earth. It impacts the ecology less than hydroelectric, which is very clean. Natural gas, we have 1 billion cubic. Your electric bill could be 1/2 within 1 year's time. What you're paying for heating your home could be going down instead of coming up. And it's being pumped back into the ground, 1 billion cubic feet of it, just because they must have those foreigners to buy our T-bills in order to bolster up the national debt of $9 trillion, and yet the American people are going lacking and not having our own natural resources, and they know it's there because they know it's being pumped back into the ground every 24 hours at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, and all they'd have to do is build another pipeline down the same corridor as the crude oil pipeline. It's already built there for it without disturbing the ecology in any manner, liquefied in Valdez, Alaska, and put it right into pipelines across America.
Lindsay, are all the gas companies owned by the same group?
Now, I'm not quite understanding.
Well, I have an idea. Is BP and Exxon and Shell and all this owned and controlled by the same group?
Oh, yes, positively. In fact, they all must go through the same process to be able to purchase their oil and transport it worldwide and they're all controlled by the same elitist group, and many of the top people in these oil companies are actually a part of this elitist group.
I was going to suggest that we pick one oil company, like Exxon, and just nobody buy from them and sort of run them out of business. But if they're all owned by the same people, that's not going to work.
If we could somehow get the American people to stick together. Now, Sherry, I know we're coming down to the close of the program here. I wish I had 2 or 3 hours. The other night I was on George Norrie at Coast to Coast AM. He gave me 3 hours. We could have gone on for more. But let me state this. When I lived and were in the same dorms with and knew personally the elitist back during those 3 years that I was chaplain on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, I came to realize that there is only one thing on the face of the earth that these people fear. Only one. You see, what they do, they don't necessarily do for money. The name of the game is control. It's manipulation of nations and people. There were people that I rubbed shoulders with that could have written a check for $1 million every day for the rest of their life and never spent their entire fortune. It's not necessarily money, even though money is part of what they do. But the main reason they do what they do is control of humanity. But there's one thing they fear. They're scared to death of one issue. And I would have never known this had I not lived with them. You see, I've written 2 books on the mindset of these people. One entitled To Seduce a Nation, another entitled Syndrome of Control. And I tried to explain to the American people the mindset and how these people think. They don't think like you and I think. And there's one thing they fear. They are scared to death of the masses of people waking up, learning the issues, and deciding to do exactly what you just said, Sherry. And someday when America is turned around, and enough Americans wake up when they're hurting bad enough, then they'll begin to wake up. And when they do, we're going to pat on the shoulder, you, Sherry, and people like you who are talk show hosts, and say thank you for turning America around because you allowed the message to get out. They are scared to death of the masses waking up. It's the only thing they fear.
We have another question from our audience. Would you talk about the comparison of gas prices in other countries as the gas prices in America? It seems like America is just now catching up with the prices of gas in Europe.
Yes. Gas in other countries costs a whole lot more. Iran, for instance, gas only costs 32 cents a gallon. and yet you go to other countries, and they said that Iraq. They said, oh, the Iraqi war is going to pay for itself with the oil. They had to shut the oil off in Iraq in order to help create a crisis and a shortage in the world. You see, this whole thing is such a scam, it's almost unbelievable. Yes, America's prices are catching up with the rest of the world, and my warning to every person out there in the audience is, I beg of you, learn the issues immediately and what to do about it so that you can prepare yourself for the lifestyle that you are willing to live in light of the fact that you're going to be paying these prices at the gas pump and at the grocery store and at the hardware store. So once again, may I invite you, please call our toll-free number. Even if you don't get my DVDs, ask them for the survival guide. But please call our toll-free number, 800-321-2900. There's not a stone left unturned from 1960 until 2008 in our 8 DVD set.
Lindsay, if people want to write to you and ask more questions or have you come to their town and lecture, how can they get in touch with you personally?
They can get in touch with me by going to my website. It's lwoil.com. That's all. Very simple. LW stands for Lindsay Williams. That's my name. lwoil.com. That's all you need. Leave me a message. My webmaster will send it on to me, and I'll try my best to get back in touch with you. I go anywhere in the country. I'm more than happy to speak, and I beg of you to learn the issues, and let's turn America around. It can be done, but don't despair. Please do not stay awake tonight. That is not the right thing to do. There is something you can do about it.
Lindsay, we are out of time. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Sherry. God bless you, and I wish you the very best in all that you're doing.
And to our audience, write to Lindsay and write to us. He's given you his email address. Ours is radio@vocalprofiling.com. Thank you.